from the Northside Lexus Traffic Desk. Delays continue 288 this morning. An accident still working right as you get to the Beltway, blocking a left lane. 45 on the Go Freeway, southbound at West Dallas, right outside downtown. Watch out for an accident there that's sitting on the feeder lane. High of 68 today, 58 degrees right now. From the Trailer Wheel and Frame Weather Desk, I'm Elia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Football Friday on In the Loop, rolling on episode 151. Adam Clanton driving the bus for the OG and myself. Coming up in 40 minutes, we're going to hear from James Ahedibo. He's going to put a bow on this Texans season and talk about the hope of the organization moving forward right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sean Pendergast wants me to get out of town quick. I'm going duck hunting this week. Yeah, first time in like 18 years. I'm going to go full Dick Cheney today.
Why is the radio pro Sean screaming off mic? Tell him to get his ass on the mic.
Yeah, he's prepping.
Is he wearing that hockey jersey again?
No.
Not today.
This is the thing about my man Sean. My man Sean has a nice little hockey jersey, but if you wear it once a week, it takes away the appeal of the jersey, right?
It's funny because the first day that he wore that,
you didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what it was. And B, I walked in with, and you'll be familiar with this. Remember the Rockets warm-ups from the championship years, the jackets they had?
Yeah.
I've got one of those jackets.
The champions?
Yes, that is a champions one. It's not starter. But theirs were short-sleeved, which are like impossible to find and kind of defeats the purpose of a jacket, by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
But I've got the long-sleeved red one, and it's fire. So we walked in that day to do the show together wearing those, and I didn't know what it was, and it was just like... He's like, I don't even know you anymore. We almost lost our friendship over it.
You can't. So. You have to know the Hartford Whalers jersey, man.
I know. I should have, and I didn't. And but I learned. And then he told me about how bitter he was about them leaving and all that. So I got the whole background right there. By the way, in case you missed it, Alex Bregman having a, it's called minor elbow surgery to have loose bodies removed. He is going to probably be delayed in his start. What are you looking at me
That's
like that for?
That's always easy for us to say because we're not the ones getting cut up. But when people call a surgery minor, I just always roll my eyes
it's an oxymoron.
You know, like, okay, I've got, just not to go too far
like military intelligence.
You ever seen like see this on my arm right here? This military intelligence. You're on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know. Yeah. See this on my arm right here? It's called what are they called? They're basically little fatty tissues. They're benign tumors.
Basically.
To get one removed, which I've had before, you don't get put under. They localize with the, you know, they numb the area, but you're not under. I don't even know, like, I'm assuming he'll be under for this surgery, but when they say minor, is that really the key?
There's no such thing as minor surgery.
Right. But I do love the people on Twitter like, hey, I had this done before. It's fine. Yeah, you're not playing third base for the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not an MLB all-star. So
deafening silence. That's another one of my favorites.
I think I could care less is my...
But that's not an oxymoron.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You guys are still stuck on the oxymorons.
Yeah.
Like, it's I couldn't care less. Why do people always say I could care less?
Because it's both of them are actually accurate.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. Because if you say I could care less, it's like you don't care a lot, but you could care less.
Well, why would you say that?
I don't know. Why would you say that? I mean, yeah, I think it's accurate is all I'm saying.
Drives me nuts when people say could of instead of could have.
Yeah.
And they write that out.
I do that.
They actually write out OF instead of have. I don't write it out.
Oh, don't write it out.
No.
Well, could of is like a contraction, but writing out could and then OF, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But I bring that up about the-
Y-O-U-R-E, by the way. Right, John?
What's that?
You're an idiot, not Y-O-U-R.
Correct.
I bring that up because Jeff Blum is going to join us next segment to talk about that. But a year ago today, or yesterday I should say, was when Texans GM Brian Gain was hired in that position, and Rick Smith was unceremoniously dumped like yesterday's garbage. And Landry went back and just overachieved like he always does. And, you know, without trying to insult any other producer I've ever worked with in town, I texted Landry when I knew we were going to do some shows together, and I said, you're the most prepared producer I've never worked with, and you're prepared more than a lot of guys I have worked with. He's just, he always goes above and beyond. In fact, I don't know how we're going to do the show on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, he went back and found some audio, because he's off, he's in Vegas, found some audio about what was being said on the station when that happened, and here's what that sounded like.
So Bill O'Brien gets the keys to the organization.
Yeah.
Because they bring in a guy, reportedly, in Brian Gain, who Bill O'Brien liked a lot in his 3 years of working together in Houston. At least now you're going to have an organization that is going to be aligned. And so theoretically, we're not going to have every single November, December, the next couple of years, The Gain O'Brien thing seems like it is a package deal.
I got so tired of the, is this Rick's decision? Is this Bill O'Brien's decision? I honestly almost don't even care about whether this is the right hire or not. Selfishly, I don't want to ever talk again about drama or potential drama or reported non-drama or anything else between the GM and the head coach.
I mean, that's a solid take all around, I think. I mean, because they did have a rift. I mean, they did not get along swimmingly. I'm talking about Rick Smith and
it was a power struggle.
It was a power struggle, and they disagreed on a lot of things.
I kind
of
want a power struggle, though. I don't want
checks
it to be
checks and balances.
I don't want it to be Rick Smith, but I'm finding myself, and maybe I'm just anticipating the worst with Bill O'Brien, but I find myself not wanting Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain to necessarily be aligned on every decision. I'm finding myself wanting Brian Gain to kind of put his foot down. I don't want Bill O'Brien making all the decisions here, specifically whether or not he brings in an offensive coordinator or not.
Yeah, that is the one. Because, see, you can talk about draft decisions all you want mm-hmm. and people disagree. There's a whole room of people that are doing that. There's scouts involved. There's other, but when you're talking about okay, your staff, which yeah. obviously Bill O'Brien's going to want to have a huge say on because he's the head coach. That's where the you know there could get some friction. And I like what Landry's saying. I think you want to have a little bit of like if we did like if we agreed on everything we always said on the show, it would not be a good show.
Right.
So you need to have checks and balances. You know, like the government's not a good example of that right now.
Right.
But you need to have that within an organization. And I'm not saying to have it for the sake of having it. You don't want to have friction just to have it, but I don't know that Bill O'Brien has proven himself enough, to me at least, you know, personally in my opinion, to where I don't think he doesn't need somebody that's a dissenting voice at times when needed.
I think they will disagree on things, but they just have a better relationship when they do disagree. And I also feel Brian Gain is in a great, great situation. I call it the velvet couch. I mean, he's sitting on a velvet couch over there.
That's better than the casting couch.
At NRG, yeah. Well, they could serve both purposes. They could serve both purposes. And the reason I say that is because he can't lose. No one, if the Texans just fall on their face again, if their offensive line, you know, if their draft picks flop, it's probably going to be Brian Gain's fault. But who's going to be blamed?
It's going to be Bill O'Brien.
It's going to be Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is like everything that went wrong with this team when Brock Osweiler was the quarterback was Brock Osweiler's fault because he was the whipping boy. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Matt. Exactly. Just ask Andre Ware. And so when they
I love Trey
and when Matt Schaub was throwing all the pick sixes or the end of his career here, defense was Matt Schaub's fault. So what I'm saying is I think
it's true
right now. Brian Gain is on the velvet couch. I mean, he nothing that goes wrong here is going to be anybody's fault but Bill O'Brien's. And I kind of like that because they gave him everything he wanted.
Keys to the kingdom.
No more excuses. It's going to be his call.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that yesterday and he wanted it that way. And you know, there was something that was out there. It was written, not Pro Football Focus. I can't remember where it was. And we might have even talked about it, but it might have been me mm-hmm. and Sean. I can't remember. All the substitute mm-hmm. has blurred together at this point. Where the guy was talking about how the Texans came to pick Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And that actually Bill O'Brien didn't necessarily want Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think he wanted Pat Mahomes. I think it was someone else. And that he was overruled.
Could have been Darnold, but although he was gone.
By Rick
whatever,
Smith making
yeah.
that trade, whatever it was.
Trubisky.
Okay, that I think you're right. I think that's who it was. Anyway, and you know, obviously it looks genius now, looking back. That's you wouldn't want anybody else as quarterback. Maybe mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes, but that was before. I don't trust him enough. I don't trust him to manage a game. So how can right. I trust him to manage, you know, other very important areas of the organization? Until he proves himself to me. And by the way, he's had lots of chances and hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't think he's the worst head coach ever, but he's definitely not the best. And I don't know that he's the guy, in my opinion, that's going to take them to the promised land.
And what if the Texans can just have a draft like the Colts did this year? Like, what if all of a sudden they have two
rookies,
impact rookies like what the Colts had? That's really all it took for the Colts. We can talk about Andrew Luck's shoulder. They got two first-team All-Pros with the first round pick and the first second-round pick of Chris Ballard. That's the other thing about Brian Gain is that Brian Gain's never made a first or second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here for over a year.
That's
He's
why this
never,
is pivotal.
Made a first or second round pick.
And no pressure, but all they need is a draft like 2006, and they're right on top of things, not just in the AFC South, but in the AFC
right.
potentially, because That 2006 draft, I mean, you can say what you want about Mario, whether or not he lived up to expectations and Reggie and Vince was involved, but, you know, the second round pick was what? Was that Owen Daniels? And then Eric Winston was in that draft. No, D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans.
Was the second rounder. I think Owen was the third rounder. Eric Winston was a fourth rounder. And I think they got one other player that I'm forgetting. James Casey. No, that was later.
They got Mario, D'Amico Ryans, Eric Winston, Owen Daniels. David Anderson, by the way, in the seventh. Just got to shout him out. The average sports show.
The most important guy in that draft. Of not just the Texans, but the entire NFL. David Anderson.
Yeah, boy, if they could have a draft like that. Look, Andrew Luck is just playing out of his mind right now. But anybody would have had a real good season behind that line. You know, any serviceable NFL quarterback.
I'll go so far as to say this, and I'm saying this with full knowledge that the secondary is a mess. But if they hit on their offensive linemen,
oh yeah,
I will take failure in the secondary, for whether it's free agency
or
draft.
Or making do in the secondary.
Or making do, because if you get a line in front of Deshaun, we don't know the cheat code exactly that could be unlocked with Deshaun yet, because he's never had sufficient protection on the National Football League level.
Right.
If you get a hit or a home run on those, you know, two, let's just say two picks, let's just say they're tackles, like John McClain was talking about earlier this week. Man, it can change the face of your franchise, and not just for like the immediate future, for like a decade.
Oh, well, you've got a 10, 12, 14-year quarterback, presuming he doesn't, you know, kill himself running. Offensive linemen generally last, you know, 10 years.
Good decade or so.
Yeah, so you're good. You're good to go if you can hit.
Yeah, I would enjoy that a great deal. I think the Texans have been long-suffering enough as well to not only make some, you know, good decisions as far as the offensive line, but just to have a good season where you don't feel like it's a paper tiger situation, kind of like this year. So
exactly.
We shall see. Hey, when we come back, Jeff Blum's going to join us, Astros broadcaster, former player, obviously. He had the same surgery that Alex Bregman had, and he'll tell us why we need to all just talk ourselves off the ledge. Not that it's really that huge of a deal, but they're calling it minor, and as John Lopez said, there's nothing minor about surgery.
That's so right.
Jeff Blum here on Sports Radio 610 coming up straight ahead on In the Loop.